Well, tonight, I need a pillow.
I need a pillow.
We're going to look at walking with God in the new nature that we have. And is somebody there?
No.
Okay. We're going to start in Romans chapter 8. I've enjoyed looking at walking with God this year. And along with our regular fellowship, we sure have learned a lot about it, walking with God. And we have a new nature in us. It's very different than the old nature that was a result of Adam sinning and losing spirit and everything that came up with the law. Once Jesus Christ was crucified, suffered, crucified, he fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled. He died, he was raised, he was ascended into heaven, and Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, and ba-boom. We were able to have this new nature. And so much is included in this new nature. You know, the nine manifestations, the ability to love with the love of God, access to the Father, being part of the one body, on and on and on. And when we walk with God, we walk in all of those things, in the whole big package that God has given us. Walking with God is not just walking by revelation. Walking with God is not just reading his word. Walking with God is not just going to his throne boldly. You know, we have access to him. It's all of it, all together. We got a big package and we walk, and it's kind of like when we were in Mexico in the pool, they had these giant plastic balls, giant, with a zipper. And kids would get in them, and then they'd zip them up partway, and they'd take a blower, like you blow leaves with, and fill it up with air, and they'd push it in the pool, and the kids would roll around and walk on the pool in these giant balls for like 15, 20 minutes. Well, they had the whole package. So they walked on the water, basically, and with all that whole package. They didn't just use their feet or just their hands or just one side of the ball. They use the whole big thing, and that's what we can do. We can use the whole big thing that God's given to us. And we see some of the depth of the richness of this in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the next part of the verse is not in any critical Greek text. So there's no condemnation or no death sentence or pronouncing of a death sentence. When Adam sinned, he lost spirit. And men were dead in sins. But not to us, because we're in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from that law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, after that dead nature that would happen because of Adam. We don't walk that way anymore because we have everything that Christ has given us by way of God's mercy and grace. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's how we walk. And this Spirit is is talking about the totality of the new nature, everything involved. We no longer are dead. We're no longer living in that dead. We no longer have a dead nature. We no longer have the flesh to be consumed by or concerned by. What is the flesh, meaning the dead nature? We now have the totality of the whole spirit nature. For they that are after the flesh, or that dead part, okay, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, and again, it's the whole package, the totality, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be dead in sins is death. To have that dead nature is death. It's no good. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is hostility or enmity against God. That old nature is against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Conversely, they that are in the spirit, in the totality of the whole spirit that we have, those that are in Christ, they can please God by sheer logic there. They that are in the flesh, which has to do with the dead nature, cannot please God, but we can. And how do we do that? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. We do that by, number one, or a way to begin, is to make sure that our thoughts, our thinking, lines up with the truth of God's word. This is crucial. This is major in walking by the Spirit. If we don't know the written will of God, how are you going to walk on it? It's fairly, very simple. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." And set your affection is think the things above. Those things above are God's things, the way God thinks, what God has said. In Philippians chapter 4. Verse 1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And then these next verses address a problem that a couple of women were causing in the area. Go to verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your gentle forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, anxious, or distracted about nothing. But in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding," or in the Working Translation it says, "which is more excellent than every way of thinking." The peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, "shall keep or protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And here is what we are to think. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think these things." So we're instructed to have gentle forbearance, to not be anxious or distracted, but to make our prayer and our prayer requests known to God. And then it says that the peace of God, which is more excellent than any way or every way of thinking, will guard our hearts and minds. And then finally, we're to think these things: what are lovely, pure, honest, just. What things are lovely, pure, honest, just, of good report? What are those things? The things of God, the things of His Word. That's what we're to think. And here, verse 9, it says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul was a great example of these things. He was a model. And we reviewed a few chapters in Acts. We never went to Paul, but you've read in Acts how Paul was a model of these things, how he upheld the integrity of the word, how he was able to believe and to function and take care of the saints in much tribulation and a lot of oppression and downright physical pain and discomfort. And that's, he wants us to learn, God wants us to learn from Paul as well, how to think on these things. Now, so number one, or I put the number one there, okay, God doesn't put a number one, but for tonight's purposes, primarily we start by, we have to know the will of God in order to walk in the totality of the new nature. We have to. It's simple. And in Ephesians chapter 2, another thing we need to know is that we are able. We are able. In verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through believing," chapter 2, verse 8, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And that means that we're God's accomplished or finished work. We're his workmanship. We've got it all. We're the end product of all that Jesus Christ came to do. Of the plan, we have the, you know, in Genesis where he said, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, right? Or the seed of the serpent. And all the way through the red thread, all through the scriptures, the believer's line, what it took to get Jesus Christ here. And then when Jesus Christ came, he saw and he conquered. And we're the finished product. We're it. We have everything that we need. God didn't miss a bit. He didn't, you know, Jesus Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle. Remember we went over that of the law. God didn't miss one little bit, and we're the end product here. We are able to walk in the new nature, which God has before ordained. This is how God planned it out, that we should walk in those good works, that we should walk in them. In Ephesians 4, another thing to consider, walking with God and engaging or utilizing every single thing that we have available to us, the whole package, is that we do it together. When it's available to do this together, to walk with God together, and therefore we do it. And it's in verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, or upholding one another in love. We saw that before. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and Spirit here refers to the gift of Holy Spirit. We've all got the same Spirit. You know, we've got the same measure, okay? There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we really have great allies in this walk with God. Because if you're trying to walk with God, and I'm trying to walk with God, and you're trying to walk with God, it's really a great comfort. It's a blessing. We're in the same body, and we're to take care of each other in our walks with God. So, and when God says here that he beseeches us to walk worthy of the calling, it means he exhorts us, he encourages us to walk worthy, to really pour it on, to pour it on. In Ephesians 5, and we walk with God always in love, always with love. Not grudgingly, just like giving. We don't give grudgingly or of necessity. But we do it in love, and here's the standard. Be therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. That's the standard. And we've reviewed that in the beginning of the year as well, or the beginning in the fall. Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So always with love. In chapter 5, still, verse 6. Another thing we do is we walk in light. And this goes back to knowing the truth of God's word. We have to know what the scriptures say. And verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. And those vain words are words that are contrary to the truth. Don't be deceived by that. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience are people who refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wrath of God will come on them, but we're not to have their vain words deceive us. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, right? We had that old nature, that dead sin nature. We were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. He has made us to be light. He's given us the light in our life. So we're to walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light, spirit, it's not spirit, light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable or well-pleasing unto God. Walking in light is well-pleasing to God. We should know his truth so that we're not deceived by vain words. And then we walk in the light because he has given us the light that we have in our lives. Proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're going to look at verse 15. Here's another one. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See that ye walk accurately. Again, to walk accurately, we have to know what the scriptures say. We have to be willing to hear from the Father and to do as he would have us to do. There are many different ways we can hear from the Father and by way of the nine manifestations, and we need to be ready to do that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. These things really are God's will, and they do please him. They bless him. It's well-pleasing to him. He wants us to do this stuff. He's given us the ability. He's given us every tool that we need. He's given us the encouragement. We've seen that I forget which one it was, but that God even actually helps us to walk. He helps us to walk. So it's what he wants, what we want. Let's get going. Keep on going, right? Not that we're not, but in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 kind of sums these things up. I decided not to go through how we can walk with God by operating this manifestation, that manifestation. We've spent a lot of time on the manifestations recently, and we know that they are for us to use to the glory of God for great benefit and great purpose. God expects us to operate them, to know how to. We should just thrill to do it, and we do. We know that we need to walk in love. We know that we need to know the scriptures. We know that we need to walk circumspectly and that we do it together. It's certainly available around here for us to walk together, and that's a great thing. Some people don't have that. You know, they're all by themselves. All by myself. Chapter 12, verse 1. And we're just going to read chapter 12, and it kind of puts it all together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your logical divine service. It makes sense. And be not fashioned by the age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we need to know the word, and this is, we prove what is well-pleasing. We saw that before, too. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the foundation for believing. We saw that before. God gives us what to believe. He sets it out for us. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry on ministering, or teaching on teaching. He that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity or integrity. He that rules or leads, let him do it with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. We all have different functions in the body. We know that. And we do them with our utmost for his highest. Walking by the Spirit. We in the totality. That's what walking by the Spirit is. Walking by the Spirit is not just receiving revelation. It's walking in the big ball, the whole package. And as we have certain functions in the body, certain things that we do it just with great zeal and earnest love for the Father and for his people. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil. That which is evil is anything contrary to the truth. Cleave to that which is good. Just hold it. Don't let it go. Just hold on to it. And there are times when Father will show us something and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he showed it to us. And yet the evil is so prevalent and it seems by the five senses that it couldn't possibly go the way God's going to say it's going to go. But we cleave to that which is good. We cleave to the written word. We cleave to the revelation. We cleave to the love of God from him and it, with each other. We cleave to that which is good. Everything that's good, honest, just, pure. It all goes together. Be kindly affectioned or tenderly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, or taking the lead in honoring one another. No room for cynicism or sarcasm. Not slothful in business, fervent in the things of God, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Well, that's a great thing to be able to rejoice in. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, and that can be translated giving persistent attention to prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, be not wise in your own intellect. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, or if you're in the situation, if you're able to, because sometimes people don't cooperate, if you think about it, sometimes people just don't cooperate. But if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto the wrath to come. Just wait. Jesus Christ is coming back, and God is going to take care of things. The devil's going to get his. God's going to take care of the vengeance. He's going to make sure that everybody gets what's due them. So we don't have to be concerned with that. You know, we don't have to consider payback in life. That's not our job. Our job is to love this way, even to the point in verse 20, it says, therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. Even to that point. If he's thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And certainly as we walk by the Spirit of God, with great love for the Father and for his people and for those that are not his people, even our enemies, then it glorifies God. We prove what is that perfect will of his. We've seen since we started that God is faithful. He's trustworthy and reliable. His word is faithful, that we need never fear, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That blessings abound as we walk with and for God. Just innumerable blessings. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. What an example. He's our ultimate example. In Acts, they did their best to walk, and great things happened for the outreach of the word, for individuals, great healings. Notable miracles were done. Special miracles were done by the hand of Paul. Amazing, as they walked in that whole new nature, the whole big ball. Now it's our turn. We have today to walk for him. It says in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. So let's give him his greatest joy. And that's it for tonight. or just walk. So, I love you.